My name is Katie Peace. I'm the Director of Communications for the Preservation League of New York State.
What does the Preservation League of New York do?
The Preservation League is a statewide nonprofit focused on investing in the people and projects that champion historic preservation, specifically using preservation to champion sustainable economic growth, build more resilient communities, and tell stories and protect our historic buildings and landscapes.
The Sanctuary for Independent Media has a grant from your organization. Why is that important? How does that relate to this space that we're recording this interview right now?
Sure. So two of the League's flagship programs are our New York State Council on the Arts funded grants, Preserve New York and Technical Assistance Grants. And the League was really excited to award the Sanctuary for Independent Media a technical assistance grant back in 2020 to do a building condition survey for this sanctuary building that we are sitting in right now, which is a pretty incredible space. But even more so, I think the work that's being done here is pretty interesting and really has a lot of value for the community. And so the League really loves being able to support such a wide variety of places and programs through our grant programs. You know, they're focused on reports and surveys, but that work really makes all the other work possible. So making sure that organizations can get funding to figure out, you know, how do they prioritize what needs to happen in their historic buildings, or how can they do cultural resource surveys to figure out, you know, which spots in their communities are historic and can be, you know, potentially listed on the National Register so that those homeowners can use historic tax credits, for example. And so through the NISCA grants, we get to work with places all over New York State, every corner from the east end of Long Island to the North Country and to Western New York. And the Sanctuary for Independent Media is, you know, a really good example of a nonprofit that's doing interesting work in a historic building. And that building might be interesting in its own right because it's beautiful. If you've been here, the stained glass is pretty incredible. But the building is really allowing the sanctuary to have a space in which to operate and really be a vibrant and vital part of its community.
Why is it important to focus on historic preservation? And why is it important to repurpose historic places and not just tear them down and bring in modern architecture?
Excellent question. Obviously, you know, not every building needs to be saved. But in terms of sustainability, the greenest building is the one that's already built, right? That's what we love to say. And, you know, on the one hand, you save buildings because they are beloved institutions in their communities, or they have a really important story to tell about the history of that place, or it's just a really beautiful example of architecture. There are all sorts of reasons to save buildings. But there's also a really good argument to be made for repurposing historic buildings. It doesn't have to be fancy building. It can be like a very vernacular building, but taking that, putting more love into it so that it can serve a purpose again instead of demolishing it, which just puts so much material in the landfill and, you know, just gives something new life so that, you know, you're not left with an empty lot on a block. You can bring a house back to life so that it, you know, has a purpose for its community again, and then you don't have to build all new, which is not the most efficient thing. You can make old buildings sustainable. You just have to keep them standing.
Do you have examples of neighborhoods that have focused on historic preservation and those that have not, and how the community connects with their area of residence? Do you have examples of that relationship?
Well, there are lots of historic districts around New York State, and in terms of getting the value of living in a historic district, you might live in a historic district that is recognized as such, and you can benefit from historic tax credits, which make it much more affordable to maintain your historic property, which, you know, at the League we really advocate for because it's such a good tool to make that more accessible to people. But you might live in a historic neighborhood that is not necessarily recognized, and part of that is the question of, you know, why not? Could it be a historic district that's recognized that could give those residents historic tax credits? Or what is the issue? And a lot of times there is, you know, an issue of integrity or, you know, how intact a neighborhood is and, you know, what really matters. Is it more important that the buildings are all intact, or is there a story underneath it that really is important to tell and makes that place special and worthy of recognition?
Do all neighborhoods have the same access to historic preservation? Who has access to, you've mentioned the historic tax credit?
Well, anybody who lives in a house that is either individually listed on the register or part of a historic district that's on the register can utilize historic tax credits as long as they live within a qualifying census tract. And so I think the poverty threshold needs to be at a certain level, and I'm not quite sure what that number is on the top of my head. Go to our website, preservenys.org. You will find the answers to that question. So those folks can use the historic tax credit, and we're lucky in New York because we have a state tax credit and access to the federal tax credit. So we have the New York State Historic Homeowner Tax Credit. We also have the New York State Commercial Tax Credit, as well as the federal commercial tax credit. So if you live in those qualifying census tracts and you either own property or own a house, you can use those. Unfortunately, if you are not in a recognized either historic district or in a house that is listed on the register, you do not have access to those historic tax credits. And so one thing that the League often funds through our grant programs is cultural resource surveys, which are often performed by municipalities who kind of take stock of their historic neighborhoods to potentially list them on the registers so that their residents can utilize these historic tax credits, which really does make it much more affordable for them to maintain their historic properties.
What else should listeners understand about historic preservation and the Preservation League?
The Preservation League does work all over the state, and we do it through a lot of different kinds of programs. We offer technical assistance. So if you live in an old house, we don't necessarily care if it's on the register or not. If you have questions, we're happy to hear from you. We do advocacy at the local, state, and federal levels. So if there's an important preservation issue that you think we should be paying attention to, we also want to hear from you. We do public programs, including webinars, and we have a book club. We are really trying to focus on how to make preservation important to people across the state, because people care about the places that they live, and we want to be an advocate and a voice for those people. And, you know, preservation can sometimes get a bad rap. Sometimes it seems like something that is exclusionary or only for a certain kind of person, and we firmly believe that that does not have to be true, and we really want to be open and make it accessible and, you know, invite people in, because all sorts of places matter, all sorts of histories matter. It doesn't have to be, you know, the stereotypical mansion owned by an old rich white man. It can be a vernacular house. It can be, you know, landscapes that are important to indigenous communities. It can be all sorts of things. And we just want to make sure that we are talking about all of them, because all of it matters. It's all part of our shared cultural heritage. And it's what brings us together as New Yorkers and as Americans, and, you know, finding those commonalities and telling those stories and really amplifying voices that have traditionally been marginalized is a big part of what we do in preservation. So the Preservation League is really excited to be involved in those projects and with people like the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And we hope to, you know, keep providing either funding or resources to, you know, make those things happen and, you know, bring preservation to everyone in New York.